Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Welcome to this week's What Most People Think. Thank you very much for joining me. I'm recovering from a day rave that I went to on Friday. I went to the Junkie 2 Festival. So you can hear, why are you laughing at that, Francis Foster, straight away?
It's a day rave. Those two words that should never be put together, mate. Fun, run, day, rave.
Fair. I'm with you on fun run, but I just want to say to all the What Most People Thinkers, the WMPTers, I met quite a few there, and you wouldn't believe it, Francis, but there's quite a lot of people of my generation that, we like to still go to dance music events, but be in bed by 10 p.m.
I think that is your brand, Jeffrey.
That, I hope you're not scoffing at the idea that people touching 50 should enjoy themselves, Francis. Or what should we do with our leisure time? If we can't do that.
I don't know. You should potter about the garden like our parents did.
Yeah, I think that's the answer, isn't it? That is the answer. That's sort of the answer that I was looking for. You haven't given me a better option there. But the great thing was, Friday I was back. I got a decent night's sleep. I had Saturday to recover watching the test cricket, although that's fucking tedious. And yes, Monday I'm feeling pretty sparky. How are you feeling today, mate?
I'm feeling all right, mate. All good. I'm always feel good when I'm talking to you, Jeffrey.
Well, it starts off right, and then we just tend to tear each other down like bickering siblings from South London. Yeah. But I should time check here because it is it's 3 o'clock, so we'll just tease the subjects that we're talking about. And we're going to be talking about the online safety bill, which came in on Friday. So this was a piece of legislation passed by the Tories, and you might have noticed that you've had age verification checks, among other things, so we're going to talk about that. Also, while we're sort of getting ready to record this, Donald Trump has been doing one of those anxiety-inducing press conferences with Keir Starmer. Not anxiety inducing for me because I found it highly entertaining, but Starmer looked like he was holding in a gnarly shit the whole time. So I'm just going to, I know Francis has been busy, but I'm going to hit him with some of the big headlines from that. And there's also Jewish comics. There's been two Jewish comics that have been banned from the Edinburgh Fringe. And yes, the Fringe is doing its cancelly thing again. And well, it's this, the people that have banned them said it's not because they're Jewish, but we will get into exactly what's gone on there. And you can probably guess that me and Francis are not massively fans of people being comedians being cancelled from anything for anything. And then just finally, we were supposed to be talking about Francis Foster's new book, but apparently we're not, Francis.
No, mate. No, we're not.
Is there a story to tell here?
There's a little bit of a story. Let's tease it here and say that if you want the full story, well, I can't give the full story for legal reasons.
You can in the Patreon only.
Yeah, but I will be able to be more fulsome, shall we say.
Is it because you're Jewish as well?
Is it a
hat trick of Jew cancellations in the comedy world?
Yeah, exactly. They just looked at me and they went, there is no way this man isn't Jewish. Let's get rid of his book.
Well, it sounds like we can be more candid in the patron-only section, so we'll do it there. Okay, speaking of patrons, new patrons, remember, if you are a patron, you get the podcast early, ad-free, and with bonus content. It might be juicy bonus content this week, I don't know, or it might just be the...
Was that a pun?
Well, it not juicy, or it might just be they looked at Francis's book and thought it was shit. But we will find out. We will find out in the Patreon only. But you get all these benefits, you get all this kind of extra material, and also when you become a patron, you get your name read out, and we take the piss as well. So the first one is Paul Milne. Paul Milne, are you related to Seamus Milne? Jeremy Corbyn's? Does Jeremy Corbyn even have a right hand man? Surely it would only be left hand men.
No, he's got a right-hand woman, hasn't he, who is the wonderfully named Zara Sultana.
So have they got a name for their party? Because they sort of soft-launched last week, and they had a website that said yourparty.co.uk, and everyone went, oh, it's called Your Party. And they went, no, it's not called that. And like, well, why? What are you fucking... Because they already had a bungled launch where Zara Sultana launched it, and Corbyn said, we're not ready yet. And now they've done a launch where people thought they knew the name, and that's not the name. It's going really well. It's going really well.
Who would have thought the far left, Jeffrey, wouldn't be able to organise a piss up in the brewery? My favourite name for it is what someone called it on Twitter, which is Jezbollah.
I mean, that's funny. That's a good name. Do you know what? I actually think that would get... The people that like that would really like that. They're claiming that they've got 500,000 sign-ups so far, but I don't know if they've had to commit any money. I think what they have is 500,000 email addresses, which could be a global number, or we could be taking the piss here, mate. This could be Reform Hezbollah is the big fight at the next election. But Paul Milne, maybe you're a part of that movement. And we've got one other patron, Alan McDuff. I mean, I think we had a name last week that just sounded like one of those kind of names that's so Scottish it might be a bit racist. Alan McDuff, oh, it's that could be South London slang for puff, when people used to call it puff.
Yeah, it could be. Or it could be a reference to the Scottish play, Macduff, who, as we all know, murdered Macbeth, or killed Macbeth at the end of the play. Macduff was from his mother's womb untimely ripped. You're a former English teacher, Geoffrey. You will know that quote.
Well, you started off well. I thought, here we go, we've got a fucking Macbeth expert here. And then you went, he killed him, didn't kill him, might have killed him, might have known him, was in the play, wasn't in the play. It all got a bit vague there, I'll be honest. But Alan McDuff is now part of the Patreon. I mean, you got one thing I would say about the Scottish is they love Scottish names, don't they? They do not drift. Like, you go up there and it's still Hamishes and...
Yeah.
I'll try Moira's. Is there Morags? Is there any Moira's or Morags anymore?
Do you know something? I remember I was doing a gig in, I can't remember where it was. I was emceeing a gig. And there was this heartbreakingly beautiful woman in the front row. And I started talking to her. And I said, what's your name? And this was in the Edinburgh Festival. And she said, Morag. And it was the most incongruous name for a woman that beautiful.
Are you saying Morag isn't a beautiful Scottish name?
Yeah, I am saying that, mate.
Morag. Yeah.
Don't even try it. It doesn't sound like a beautiful woman's name.
Yeah. It's almost like the equivalent of Norman as an English name for a male. If you were called Norman and you were really a sexy man, that would be very hard for people to process.
Absolutely. It'd be like somebody walking in looking like James Bond and you're like, who is this? And he goes, Keith.
Keith Bond. Keith Bond sounds like he owns a haulage firm. There was a Bond film on ITV on Saturday. Or was it Sunday? I was watching my son, and it come on. It was A Man with a Golden Gun. I forgot how it's not even innuendo based. I mean, there's one in the opening credits. There's a woman basically given a hand job to a pistol. And every single thing that she says in the lyrics in the song are all basic, like, he's got a gun, it's 9 inches long, it's in his trousers. I'm like, all right, fucking, we get it. Even my son was looking at me going, do you want to, should we watch the Moomins instead? But welcome all patrons, whether they have golden guns, silver guns, or tiny little pistols. David Domain, our super patron who keeps an eye on previous week's episodes, got back to me on several things. He's absolutely on fire at the moment, just picking up on little things to tease out. We were talking about AI, right, and how quickly it's developing. AI has become so popular in Japan that AI dating sites, Koshuri, and Lovers have become the most popular dating apps in Japan. That is, getting into relationships with AI bots instead of real people. Now, how are you? Are you in a relationship at the moment? Single?
No, I'm not, mate. I'm single. I might as well get onto one of those AI bots. Why not? Can't go any worse, mate.
What about if you just have, like, can you do settings? Like, don't tell me about your day. Like, can you just do, like, if it's conversation, you know, like when you get in an Uber and it says no conversation, air, temperature, you know, ventilation.
Yeah.
Quickest route by mileage. Can you do the same with your sort of romantic AI partner?
Well, I think if you could, mate, it would be what? Best part of 7 minutes, then you just sit down with a curry and watch a football.
Geezer, look at you. You're like Gary out of Men Behaving Badly.
Listen, mate, it's one of the greatest sitcoms ever.
But if people are interested in the idea of people dating AI, I don't know, women configurations, what? I mean, they're definitely non-binary, aren't they? A robot. You cannot tell me that a robot has a fucking sex.
Listen, Jeffrey, stop being problematic. It's what it identifies as. We've had this conversation.
Well, it could, I suppose, have a gender if an agenda is an assumed identity based on certain characteristics. But if you are interested in that, there was a film with Joaquin Phoenix and voiced by Scarlett Johansson called Her. Have you seen that? Where he just basically puts a little earbud in his ear and he has this whole relationship with her. And it still gets tricky. You know, she's still in his ear. Hey, pun,
yeah,
get it?
Hey.
Thank you. And we've been talking about UK baby names, and we talk about the name Roger. Do you remember, were you old enough for the name Roger to have been a sort of a salacious euphemism for shagging? Like, gave her a good Roger in, yeah?
With me, it was mainly bonk.
Bonk. Bonking.
Yeah.
So, did you grow up on a set of Carry On Camping?
No, mate. Do you remember like the tabloid press?
Oh, yes.
They have a bonk fest.
Yes, yeah. And it was always that the guy was a tremendous lover. And apparently the reason they did that was because if they made out that he was a champion lover, it was slightly less likely that he'd take it to court because he wouldn't want to argue against the seven times a night stallion. He couldn't get enough of my curves. I mean, the women in that weren't modest either. He just couldn't get enough of me. I think it's called Viagra Love. but Roger names, it comes from the old High German name Roger. This comprises of the element Hrod, meaning renown or fame, and Ger, meaning spear. Therefore, Roger can be interpreted as famous spearman. It was for this that it became a slang word for the penis, then later the verb. There you go. Laughing and learning on what most people think. I also spoke about Asperger's, and then it was pointed out to me by a couple of people that is, I think it's been, me and Ian Stone couldn't work out whether or not it had been, had had an aggressive buyout by autism. You know, like when companies just consolidate.
Yeah.
Like when News UK bring another news outlet into the family. But apparently it wasn't like that. Asperger's was a subtype of autism, the milder end of the spectrum. But it's no longer used officially. It was phased out by various health organisations in the 2010s, being merged into the broader autism spectrum disorder. Also, it was named after Hans Asperger, and it has emerged that he had ties with Nazi eugenics program. So another reason the term fell out of favor. Yes, yeah, you got a bit of the old Asperger's. You go, sorry, what do you mean by that? Does that mean that you take things literally or or that you cancel comedians from their Edinburgh Fringe runs?
Or you're just partial to the odd salute.
Yeah, you've just been known to step in a certain way.
Yeah.
Love's a timely train.
Yeah, exactly.
What most people think.
Right, we're going to do the thank you and the fuck you here. I'm going to do the thank you is for Lionesses winning a penalty shootout. Now, obviously, there has been this growing thing of where women's football has been put on a lot, right? And then there's the sort of backlash, but it's a bit like the Superman film that I've been going on about, that some blokes are now so addicted to slagging it off that they've become equally as tedious as the people that were overly pushing it and can't even let themselves enjoy a fucking England team winning a penalty shootout, for God's sake. And I watched the game... as we're talking on Monday, I watched the game yesterday against Spain. Did you watch it, Francis?
No, I didn't, mate.
Bigot. Why do you hate women?
Why do I hate women? Do you know what? Look, this is my... It's not controversial. I don't find it particularly entertaining. And
that's
actually,
I do
like women's sports. I like women's tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Look at you with your judgmental little face.
No, I'm completely open to it. It's just, it's totally fine to not like it. It's when people have to go online and spend their whole personality becomes telling you that they don't like it. That becomes a bit tedious. I mean, there was definitely an issue through the tournament with the quality of the penalty taking, but equally the goalkeepers made it. Look, I just like seeing England teams win things. You know what I mean? I don't see sex or race or anything. All I see is England.
Mate, are you trying not to get your show cancelled at Edinburgh?
See, well, you know, there's a shot across the bows. Look, all I'm saying is an England football team won a penalty shootout, and we've now turned it around with the men's and the women's team. We now win penalty shootouts, and it was exposed a double standard with Keir Starmer, who in opposition, get this, Francis, suggested that if England won a tournament, that, you know, there should be a bank holiday for the Lionesses. Lo and behold, old Slippery gets in power and he's not fucking touching it with a barge pole. But look, if you don't like women's football, brilliant. But it's still better that an England team wins a tournament than not. The fuck you is to Francis Foster.
So the fuck you is a subject that we're going to be covering later on. It's a cancellation of Jewish comedians' shows. And this is particularly dedicated to comedians who go to kneecap concerts, watch kneecap, sing along to a group that has chants like Up Hezbollah and Up Hamas. And then when Jewish comedians get cancelled from gigs, they wring their hands. I'm like, boys, what do you think Up Hamas means?
Do they just for sort of legal security, do they definitely say Up Hamas?
Yeah, they've said Up Hamas.
Up Hamas, Up Hezbollah.
They have said it in a concert. They've said it in a concert. So
they said, oh, yeah, so that was what they was investigated over. So you're saying that there's a double standard here with people that will support that right to expression, but not for, say, Jewish comedians to hold views.
Yeah, that's part of it. And also, what do you think Up Hamas means?
Well, they're certainly not my cup of tea.
but like, genuinely, what does that mean, Up Hamas?
I haven't even seen him live.
I mean, I've heard they've got a great bassist, Hamas.
Yeah.
They're great on the festival circuit.
Yeah, they're like Bob Dylan. They haven't gone electric because, you know, some of the Stone Age views. Yeah. They're like, fuck that, man. They're still doing the folk circuit.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's get out of that and let's talk about the online safety bill. You might have noticed, I think it came in Friday. So this is the online safety bill. It's a bit of legislation that was brought in by the Tories. And I don't know if Labour added to it, but it was ratified and it was brought in from the 25th of July. And what a lot of people are focusing on is under its children's codes is that platforms must prevent, so this is like social media and online platforms must prevent young people from encountering harmful content relating to suicide, self-harm, eating disorders and pornography. First up, there's a part of you that goes, feels quite late in the day for that. It felt like that duty should probably have pre-existed. I don't know.
Yeah.
Did it need a piece of, I guess it needed legislation. The surprising thing is that, are we saying up till that point that they did not have a duty to protect young people from suicide, health, self-harm, eating disorders and pornography?
Well,
because what was the access for Pornhub before that? It's like, are you 18, yes. Are you definitely 18?
Click.
Yes. Are you 18, but with the voice of Kathy Burke playing Perry from Kevin and Perry? Yes, I am.
Yeah, exactly. And look, I think that that is a good thing. I think the whole age verification for pornography is good for two reasons. Number one, it obviously stops, or it doesn't stop. It discourages and makes it more difficult for young people, kids, to access it, number one. Number two, I think it's good that men are discouraged from watching pornography and it's a little bit more difficult for them.
Mm.
I think that's actually broadly a good thing. So I'm in agreement with all of this. Also, if you're one of those people who go on Pornhub and you've got your driving license in your hand and you're there going, have a look at yourself, mate. Do you know what I mean? Get a VPN.
So we'll come on to the VPN shortly, but what I'm getting from that is you said it's good that men are dissuaded from watching pornography. It sounded there very much like a man that's contemplating how many hours he's wasted since he became single. Is that
maybe you're right, Jeffrey. Maybe you're right.
That's what we get played to us in purgatory is just every single time. Oh my God, that would be awful, wouldn't it? You just suddenly go, what's this? What am I watching? It's me in a hotel room. What am I doing? That's fine. I'm just doing a bit of, well, wait a minute. Why is he going to the bit? Oh, Jesus Christ. Turn it off.
Most people think.
So the age verification came in. Now, have you been age verified for anything yet, Francis?
How do you mean age verified for
anything? Well, you needed to enter some form of age verification to continue using a site that you wish to use.
No.
I don't mean just the porn. I mean generally.
No, nothing.
Well, I did because I'm on Blue Sky, because obviously I'm a traitor that straddles the left-hand liberal conservative divide.
Is it good, Blue Sky?
It's fine. It's not exclusively. Like, Threads is like Corbyn-era Twitter. Whereas Blue Sky is sort of more of the slightly left-wing centrist ads there, but there's sort of the David Gort conservatives there as well, like the Amber Rudd type Tories. So it's, anyway, look, I wish everyone was still on fucking Twitter and make my life easier, but oh no, it's like social media is like a party where everyone's gone into fucking corners, which means I have to post. Anyway, but look, the amount that I have to post on different platforms isn't the issue. But the age verification, so the one I did through Blue Sky is that they claim to have developed these apps, well, they have developed these apps, which they claim that through a scan of your face can quite quickly identify whether or not you're over the age of 18. So first up, I mean, like, just on a, like, it doesn't tell you. I was thinking, oh, shit, it's going to tell me what age it thinks I am, but it doesn't tell you. It just says, yeah, you're fine. I suppose it could do levels going, oh, you are so fine. Oh, you're joking, mate. Like, practically dead. But there's talk about where does this data go? They're saying, well, we don't keep it. Like, what if there's an exchange of this information between police forces and, you know, what if there's cross-pollination of your image? Does it matter? I don't know.
No, I think the danger is that they take a scan of your face, they then retain the data, and then within some leak happens, you know, that data will be released. But to be honest with you, in about 5 years, nothing of yours will... Yeah. Everything of yours will be public knowledge anyway, Jeffrey.
Well, that sounds like you've heard something there. There's like, we're going to get some ransomware note like Marks and Spencer's. But yeah, oh God, that could mean that there's a leak that proves that I was actually using Blue Sky. That would be humiliating, wouldn't it?
Mate, I can't believe that you're actually allowed on Blue Sky. You admitted to using to voting for Brexit. You've had more than one right of centre opinion. I mean, this you're practically a Nazi, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, I get people on threads thinking I'm a Nazi, people on Twitter thinking I'm a lefty. I'm one of those, you know, those celebrities back in the day that their sexuality was ambiguous. That's what, I'm the Rock Hudson.
That is an old reference, my friend. That is dating you.
Right. Jesus. No. All right. I'm the Elton John. All right, let's bring it bang up to date. Yeah, fine.
Yeah, I mean, not really. Again, you're what I would call sort of lefty-righty, sort of like a national socialist.
Yes, exactly that. And let's try and abbreviate that if at all possible. Mm. So I guess, you know, people are talking about ways around this technology. One of the ways around is you could get an older relative to verify your face for you. But again, that is not an area we want to be in pornography, is it? Like,
no, it's not. Grandma, come over here.
Why did your brain go to that?
Older relative, Jeffrey. I went grandma.
You went straight, never go for grandma.
She comes over, she gets her face scanned, and then you can watch, you know, all the bakaki you want.
Oh my God. Am I, all right, yeah, that's staying in. Fuck it. You said it. We've been fairly frivolous so far that we should, you know, focus on more of the serious elements of this. I mean, is it censorship? Because, you know, on a lot of the right-wing social media feeds, it's that the government are, this is indirect censorship because it's not just pornography. It's other subjects that are included under the Online Safety Act. And some of it is subjective. Some of it could apply to the circulation of information relating to immigration. We've already seen that testimony from the parliament from a grooming gang's inquiry where they're literally, I think, quoting from the court readout has been sanctioned in certain areas. Now, I don't know if that means no one can see it, but maybe not younger people can see it. So I guess it's a legitimate concern, isn't it, to say that this is quite a lot of power to give the government and Ofcom. And I don't know if recent evidence suggests that they're going to be totally trustworthy with it.
Well, this is a problem, Jeffrey, is that let's take the grooming gangs. I mean, this is a hell of a gear change, isn't it? But let's just take the grooming gangs scandal, even though that is not the way to really to describe it.
Someone will be annoyed that we didn't call it rape gangs. So grooming gangs, rape gangs.
Rape gangs and all the rest of it. Awful, horrendous, a stain on our nation. And the reason that that issue wasn't tackled sooner and spoken about sooner was because, let's be honest about it, there was a cover-up by all echelons of government and society, or the top echelons at least. Do we really want bills in place that are going to make it easier for government to actually cover things up, to actually silence people and information? I'm really worried about that, mate, because I genuinely feel that we have come to a place now where the relationship between the average person and the institutions, whether it be government, whether it be the police, whatever it may be, are fundamentally broken. These need to be repaired. I don't think acts like this can help them, can help matters, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, I suppose, you know, in an era where we've seen people having their doors banged down for posting stuff, now it might be incendiary stuff, it might be illegal stuff, but where it feels like the thrust of crime prevention has got moved largely to things people said rather than things people did, you know, I think everybody will have sympathy for the age thing, but whether or not this legislation is good legislation is another issue.
What most people think.
I was just going to quickly do a little bit on the Trump presser that's been going on shortly before we recorded this. You might not, you might be doing other stuff. I think, are you at Trigonometry Towers at the moment?
Yeah, I'm indeed, mate.
Okay, so I'm guessing you're between records today. But the Starmer, by the way, you've got to watch it, just how on edge Starmer looks throughout this whole thing. And it's funny, man, because that's where I've got sympathy. I would not want to be sat next to an absolute fucking loose cannon. He's proper got the vibes of introducing your new partner to your great granddad, you know, like fuck, Jesus Christ, just fucking please stay. And the press are just like, let's prod the bear, let's prod the bear. So all the questions that the press are asking, like leading questions, like, are you going to recall Parliament? Like all these difficult ones for him. But they got on to the subject of going to London. Will he be going to London? And he starts saying nice, you know, when Trump says his very generalized thing about, you know, London, it's a great city. Yeah, we know it's a big city. He'll often say really obvious things. And then his brain, suddenly you can see him remember the mayor is Sadiq Khan. I don't like your mayor. I'm not a fan, not a nice guy, terrible human. And Starmer's sort of sitting there going, fuck, like I thought he was just going to say nice things about London. And then he goes, I should say the mayor is a friend of mine. I thought, okay, you know, I that was more maybe than I expected. For Starmer. I mean, he can't just sit there and let someone call his, as much as a lot of people have sympathy with what Trump's saying about Sadiq Khan, Starmer can't sit there and just grin while that happens, right? That's untenable.
No, he can't. So he's got to come out in favour of Sadiq. Well, he's got to come out and support Sadiq, whilst also at the same time trying desperately not to antagonise Trump and put any trade deal in jeopardy. Because you know what Trump's like, no, this is it, and he'd rip it up in front of him.
Oh, I thought you wanted that trade deal. Yes, not. They spoke to him as well about the political system here, about the rise of Farage. And what was sort of particularly dismal for Kemi Badenoch was he sort of seemed to refer to Labour and Reform as the two main parties, which they may well be, but, you know, it's still an emerging thing. And he said, you know, Starmer, he's a liberal, but we get along. You know, Nigel's a bit more conservative. They're both good guys. But then he said that Starmer needs to slash taxes and immigration to stand a chance against Farage, which is always a difficult moment for the PM when the president next to you is basically writing a Daily Express editorial in your face.
But I agree with you. But also, he's right.
Politically, he hasn't got that kind of latitude because he's starting to face pressure on the left. And another thing that exposed that pressure was he was speaking about migration. He actually praised Starmer for doing a great job of stopping the boats. I thought, well, fucking clearly here's a geezer, not exactly across the detail. Basically, Starmer's just told him that, hasn't he? Yeah. How you doing on the boats, Keir? Fucking nailing it. Good for you. So he's just repeated that. And then he just starts riffing Trump. And that is when you see Starmer get nervous because when he's riffing, anything could happen. And he said, I'm quoting here, other countries don't send you their best people. They send criminals. There'll be murderers, drug dealers. And Starmer doesn't step in here. And the thing is, I totally understand like the difficulty he faced diplomatically, but there'll be a lot of people on the left. That clip will do the rounds on the left, I swear to God, because they'll just say, look what this guy said. Look, and, you know, and the Starmer Sultana, the Corbyn Sultana thing, they'll use that because they'll go, look what he'll accept, what he doesn't disagree with. But I suppose what's his choice there, right? If we're just going to be like tactical about this, is he would to counter that, he would then have to say, well, they aren't just that, which of course, factually, they're not just that, obviously. You know, there are obviously criminals that do come over. But then the right-wing press that would go, he loves the boats, fucking loves it, look at him, he's on the side of the drug gangs. Fuck, I just, the tension. I give Starmer a lot of stick on this podcast. I do not envy him at all having to sit next to Donald Trump.
No, look, let's be honest about this. The Starmer prime ministership will fail. It won't do what he set out to do. And the reason is, partly is because he loves a U-turn. Let's be honest about that. And partly because he's in a completely untenable position where the things and the changes that need to be made to this society and to the country as a whole will not be made because it's in direct opposition to his own party's ideology, particularly those on the hard left. He's screwed. Mm. I actually have sympathy for him because he knows what needs to be done. He's a smart fella, but he can't do it. So he's just going to fudge everything. And then in the end, we're going to be left worse 4 to 5 years down the line.
I guess I should be thinking strategically there, but all I thought was Corbyn versus Farage at PMQs could be fucking box office.
Yeah, yeah.
On the one hand, just a cussing match. On the other hand, a guy reading out emails from Deirdre at number 17. Okay, just a quick hype is that next week, and for the first time in a long time, I'm away on holiday. So next week there will only be a breaking news show on the Friday because I'm away, and I will have a show for you. I get back Thursday. I'm going to get across the news, get a breaking news show out on Friday. And also a reminder that the Fringe run, those tickets start and sell really fast. So if you want to see me at the Fringe, do get tickets. My main show is at 3:30, and then there's on both the Saturdays, there's an extra show at 10 p.m., so that should be a bit spicier. Francis, anything we should push towards? I've seen you doing some shows with Leo.
Yeah, I did some shows with Leo Kurtz, and we've got some more. Did you like that accent?
No.
What do you mean, no?
Well, it was kind of like Groundskeeper Willie meets Mrs. Doubtfire.
Well, that's what Leo sounds like.
True.
Anyway. Yeah, 14th of August, I'm doing some shows with Leo, the one and only Leo Kurtz, thankfully. If there was any more, I think there'd be protests out on the streets. 14th of August at the Hems Pub in Soho.
And so are you guys now, are you a double act now? What are you, like fucking Abbott and Costello?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you come on in a little clown car?
What we do, mate, is we do like some trans jokes, do about 10 minutes of that, then we do a sing-song. And then we have a little bit of a dance afterwards.
So it's exactly what your biggest critics would think. It's trans, people with disabilities, the poor. Do you do anything about the poor?
Oh, yeah, we hate them.
You hate the poor. And what do you finish on?
They just need to work harder, mate.
A good old-fashioned misogynistic song to finish.
Yeah, well, it's not that. It's just about, like, you know, how, you know, everything's got worse since we started educating women, which, you know, there's a strong argument to be made for it.
Okay, all right, we're going to move on now. Right, before Francis gets himself cancelled from the next 10 Edinburgh Fringes, we're going to talk about the cancellation of two Jewish comedians coming up at this year's Fringe. Rachel Krieger and Philip Simon had their shows axed unexpectedly. They were both due to perform at Whistlebinkies Bar. I mean, only the Edinburgh Fringe could have a bar with such a shit name, Whistlebinkies. So there was the word Jewish or Jew was in both titles. Krieger's show was titled Ultimate Jewish Mother. And so she's performed at that venue before. And Simon co-hosts a podcast who's also performed at this venue called Jew Talking to Me. I mean, let's just pay homage to the punnability of the word Jew. I think, didn't Joe Bohr once do a show called A Room with a Jew? You know, just...
Yeah, he did.
So what the venue at first claimed that there were safety concerns, right? Because they said that the previous year they'd had graffiti from the Free Palestine lot. And there were the issue. The police had told them that there were safety issues and stuff. But since then, it seems to be that it's more to do with either just them being Jewish or their views, particularly in Simon's cases, on the state of Israel. Francis Foster, a man on the scene. What more can you add to this breaking news as we have it? I mean, it does. What they're saying is that we did our routine checks of their social media. I'm going, sorry, Edinburgh Fringe venues have so many fucking shows. Don't tell me that you do routine checks on everyone. It feels like there might have been a specific reason you did one in this case.
Look, can we just admit that you didn't like them because they're Jewish and you associate Jewish people with Israel and I'm putting this in inverted commas, the genocide in Gaza.
So the venue said, we found that the views concerning the ongoing humanitarian crisis in Palestine expressed by the performer, so in this case I think it's the male performer, are in significant conflict with our venue's stance against the current Israeli government policy and actions. First up, does a venue generally have a view? Does it need to have a view? It might be quite a legitimate view.
No, here's the thing. So what else does your venue have views about?
Does their venue have a view? I mean, look, I don't want to do whataboutery because obviously, you know, we're looking at the suffering in Gaza and that needs to be taken seriously. But does the venue have a view on other global conflicts or is it just this one? I mean, they also suggested their shows were linked to a vigil for IDF soldiers, which they said were held during Krieger's performance last year. Although this apparently never happened. Then they've been in touch with the industry website Chortle to sort of detail the reasons why they cancelled the Jewish comedian Philip Simon, right? So they said he was cancelled after they, as I say, performed their routine checks. He's responded to people pledging support for Palestine, Palestinian people, asking why they don't care about the hostages. I mean, that's not a particularly radical thing. I've seen plenty of that in the online space. It might be a bit of whataboutery, like from viewed from one side or the other. Are we in the realms of that being a reason to cancel a show?
Yeah, and we have been for a long time, Jeff. Look, I've banged on about ad nauseum about cancel culture for longer than I care to admit or remember. But we've finally come to the place now where people are being cancelled for their racial identity. This is what this is.
But this venue, I totally agree. I do not think that if these hadn't been Jewish performers that they would have done the same to anybody else. I don't think they'd be randomly going through their social media. I mean, another one of the reasons that they've given is that he identified himself as being pro-Israel from another social media account. I mean, again, I think you're still allowed to be that. I think you can be a performer and hold sets of views. I mean, one good thing is that the comedy industry does seem to be largely, by and large, fairly horrified by this. But it's been dripping in over the last few years, wasn't it, with Jerry Sadovich's show being cancelled. There's been a number of incidents where either the venue or staff that work there have claimed certain things made them feel unsafe. And here we are with Jewish performers getting cancelled, or certainly at the very least scrutinised because they're Jewish.
I think at some point, people within the comedy industry need to wake up. There has been, for far too long, people who have just sat back and let cancel culture run rampant and then them saying things, oh, cancel culture doesn't exist, which is what they started off with. Then they went to, it's not cancel culture, it's accountability culture. And now we're in the place where we're cancelling people because they're Jewish. I mean, where do you want this to stop? Because it will carry on. And if you're one of those comedians who's listening to this, I doubt you're listening to this because this is probably too far right for you. But if you are one of those comedians, then when are you going to say enough is enough? When are you actually going to come out and condemn it?
But I have seen a lot of comedians that would nominally be described as left-wing who are pretty horrified by this. So I suppose this might be a tipping point in a way. I mean, another thing that I'm thinking of is that I've got a 60-date tour coming up. And some people have been saying, you know, I'm not edgy enough these days. I'm just wondering whether or not, because, I doing the Sunday is always a bit of a ball ache. I wondered if I could maybe say something on the Saturday that could get the Sunday postponed. I get the headlines, little boost for the ticket sales. What could I say? You know, I'm going to say at the Edinburgh Fringe, I'm going to say I'm actively looking forward to the new series of Mrs. Brown's Boys.
I just think just put a yarmulke on your head and go, I've converted.
I've converted. I am now an author. Yeah, Jeff, was it a basic bloke too? Instead of basic bloke too, call it basic bloke Jew.
Yeah, exactly. Basic bloke Jew. And then maybe a little Star of David on there. You know, there'll be a few venues pulled. You'll be all over the Telegraph. We'll get you back on trigonometry.
There you go.
You'll be on the Apollo in no time, mate.
I'll give it a go. All right, now, speaking of comedians getting cancelled, we are going to... I know this is genuine. I do not know why Francis was supposed to be talking about his book, which I think was about teaching, but that it's not coming out now. I don't know what the fuck's going on. So if you want to find out what all that is, then do join the Patreon. For everybody else, it'll be the end of the show. All right, so this is the end of the show now. We had a good chat, me and Francis, about what went on with his book. I'm going to say it again now, and I said it in the Patreon-only section. The book they tried to cancel. You can stick that on the front cover, mate, although you've got far more. Well, I mean, you've literally been on with Joe Rogan. But if you don't get quotes from any of the top people, just keep coming down the list, and at some point you'll hit the Jeff Norcott level. Listen, mate, so yes, live shows, you and Leo Kirst, people should search for that. And, of course, huge guests all the time on Trigonometry. So thanks very much, Francis Foster, for being on the show.
No, it's a pleasure, mate. Always love coming on, Jeffrey.
Why did you start that with no, it's a pleasure? That was such a British thing to do. It's, you know when people say, yeah, no. It's, yeah, thanks for coming on the show. No, it's a pleasure. listen, there will be a breaking news episode later this week. And as I say, just a reminder, next week there'll only be one episode at the end of the week. But have a good rest of the week, and I'll speak to you later in the week.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th. So get your tickets now at kosai.org.
Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.